about this service. And I thought about ripples, things that have embraced my life. This church has reached further than you can imagine. It has touched more than you could ever put in a book. One of the pastors here, that Lester fella, preached a message at my church, and my son and daughter were saved. When Lester was young and still able to jump, and he used to quite a bit, actually, before he calmed down moving to Middleburg Heights. Once he got out here, the jump slowed. Some say it's age. I think not. I think it is Reptile Heights. But him and my father were in a tent revival, and at that tent revival, my wife was introduced to Southern gospel, not music, preaching. And she had been to church all of her life, and she asked me the questions on the way home. She said, "What did that preacher mean that Jesus is coming again?" Can you imagine growing up in a church and never hearing that Jesus is coming again? Ripples, things that change.
Yeah.
Jill was saved, I was saved, my whole family was saved. This church has reached out in so many different ways. And I've been a part of this church for a long period of time. And I got to thinking about that as I was trying to figure out what kind of message do you preach for a homecoming. And being the type of individual that I am, I thought, everybody wants to be happy, so I entitled my message, "Returning Home, Weeping Where I Used to Worship." Get it? In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." In 2 Samuel the 32nd verse, "And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he usually worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head." The place where David worshiped is what the scripture says. The place where he worshiped. And I got to tell you something about the church of our God. It is a place of mercy.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that this house, these people that gather here, gather in a place of mercy? The Mount of Olives is a place east of Jerusalem. It is rich in history because it lies to the east of the temple in Jerusalem. And anyone standing at the temple would see the sun rising over the Mount of Olives every morning. So from that point of view, someone standing in the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives came to represent the place of new beginnings. And this place has always been the place of new beginnings. It is a place where perhaps maybe your heart is troubled and you run into this house and you cry out sanctuary, and somehow God speaks to you and allows you to know that you are not alone, that there is more than what this world has to offer. There is a voice that speaks to you and says, "Hold on, child. I've got you in my hand and everything is going to be all right. I will sing to you in the midnight hour, and when no one else can get to you, it will be me that comes skipping across the mountains and down in the valley. And if there's a whirlwind, look for me, for I ride the whirlwind and I can get to you." I say happy days. Amen, amen, amen. A place of new beginning. Every day began fresh with the Lord's mercy. Lamentation said, "The Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every day the Lord renews his mercy. Here you've been here 51 years. Has God's mercy dissipated? Has God's mercy left this place? Has God's mercy not been available in all of these years? His mercy endureth forever. And praise God, for he is greatly to be praised. Amen. If I was out there, I'd just shout. I know some of you are still working on one. Sometimes, maybe yesterday, you made a mistake. Has any of you ever made a mistake? Has any of you ever driven? If you've driven on any road in Cleveland, you've made a mistake. I made a mistake because I pulled up in the one road that somebody removed. Coming in here, I said, what do you know? Well, there's no road here. There used to be a road there. I went to my old neighborhood and drove down my old street to look at my old house, who somebody removed. My old house is not there anymore. I used to live there. You would think that by now it would be some kind of shrine, but it is not. You would think by now people would be gathering there to have prayer at the fence, but there was nobody there except in a vacant field. You see, the thing is, a lot of the things that you might have hope in and trust in will fail, but God's mercy will never fail. God's mercy will always be there when you begin to cry out and say, Father, I have a need. Father, I am empty. Lord God, would you come? For I am desperate for your touch. And the Lord said, my mercy endureth forever. And though you may not deserve mercy, I'll give you mercy, because I am God, and beside me there is no other. Hallelujah. This place that we come to, this house, this church is a place of fruit. In Olivet, by the way, the mount was a place of fruit. In the time of the Bible, the place was covered with fruit trees. Now, I believe with all of my heart that there has been some fruit trees that were grown here as well. Amen. Amen. I got to tell you, sometimes there is a wind, especially at Olivet, that is always blowing. And if you look at the trees there, you can see that they've been hit by the wind. And sometimes their branches are bent in the direction of the wind. And the Bible often talks about we are like trees that are planted, and sometimes we bend. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes we don't always look straight and tall. I've noticed over the last few years that I'm not as tall as I used to be. Matters of fact, I don't understand. I started out at 6 feet and now I'm 5'10". How did this happen? I was so cute when I was 6 feet. You just shorten yourself by 2 inches and you ugly up just a bit. Man, I used to take off my shirt and sport my six-pack. Now I take off my shirt and my bikini line is right here. Now, some of you don't need to imagine more than what I said. Sometimes, even though we're planted by water and we're planted in good soil, sometimes things come along that hurt us. But I'm glad God's mercy endures, and I'm glad it endures for the fruit that we bear. I'd like to tell you something. Sometimes the wind is blowing over us, and sometimes the wind blows into our family, and sometimes the wind is a storm that takes our breath away. But still yet, isn't it good to know that when the winds are blowing, somehow the roots keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And after a while, though the wind is howling and everybody says that child of God is about to fall, they stand and say, let me tell you about my God. He got me up this morning, and he's there, and he's there. He is the one.
and I'm still going to bear some fruit. Though he slay me, yet I will worship him.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Some of you sitting there saying, he's bragging on himself. What's the point?
If you won't do it, I ain't got no choice. If you don't say amen, I have to say it. If you don't say glory, I have to say it. You say bragging on yourself. Some of you just plain stupid.
Of course I am. It's because of the fact that I also bear the fruit of the Word of God. And the Word of God is worth shouting about. The Word of God is enough to praise about. The Word of God lifts you up when you're down. The Word of God puts its arms around you and holds you and rocks you. It is heard in His hands. And when the world is bad for you, you have the Word. And you stand and say, I know whom I have believed.
The Word of God is a marvelous thing, you see. And I got to tell you, sometimes those trees, I've been to Olivet, and I've seen the trees. There are olive trees there that are over 2,000 years old. And they are bent and gnarled and twisted by the winds. But the roots are deep.
Yeah.
They are old now. And every time something falls from those trees, somebody grabs a hold of it. And they carve a little something in it. Or they carve on it. And all over the world, people are looking at these olive figurines that people make. Because the wood there is so precious from the Garden of Gethsemane that anything that falls, not one thing, is wasted. That's the grand thing about a child of God. Even though the world looks at us and says, you're of no account, every word that comes out of us, every deed that we do is precious. I've been thinking about that because there's been some people in this building that have been precious to so many, and they have touched so many, and nothing has been wasted. Their testimony remains, and as long as we are alive, we will continue to tell that this house is a house of worship.
God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
So here's the thing. I just like to point this out. This is going to make you happy. Even an ugly tree can bear fruit.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Ain't you glad? Some of you should shout on that one. I mean, some of you should have been out with your handkerchiefs running out. Is that even an ugly tree? Hey, man, that's me.
None of you want to get up now, do you?
But for all of you that think that you're really cute, your righteousness is as filthy rags. We all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, but God takes that and makes a message.
Yes.
He takes that. And he writes a song. He takes that and poems are born. He takes this little thing called humanity and calls us hell to tremble.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you what, that's still good.
Amen.
Some of you are going to listen. Supper's waiting. If you start praying now, I'll finish. If you don't, I'll take my time. I'm a diabetic. I can't eat much anyway. And just before I come up here, I put this thing on fry. So I got insulin dripping like nobody's business. And in case of an emergency, I told Jill, give me one of them special pills that if I have to take it during the time, I can take that preach on and then tell him how good my pill was. All you have is chicken. I have sugar. Amen. Who was it that said, was it last night? He said, you can take a horse to water, can't make him drink. And I thought you can always lead a horse to water, but a pencil must be led. I didn't get the other one either. But I think it has something to do with salt. Has something with getting thirsty. And if you're real thirsty, you're going to want to get to the water, amen?
Amen.
And I got to tell you something. That land up there where Olivet is a very chalky land. And so them trees put their roots down deep because they want to get into the water. They want to get into the water. And let me tell you something. Sometimes things don't always go exactly the way that we anticipate. But God can take some ugly situations like these trees are. And make a song, a poem. As a matter of fact, maybe some of you have been thinking everything is going to be all right. You had a job and all of a sudden everything changes and the job is gone. Somebody, you go to work one day and they say, we're not going to need you the next day. And you start worrying about where the groceries are going to come from. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? But then that root system that you have reminds you that God said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. In other words, God said, I've got you in the palm of my hand. I've got you there. And there ain't nobody going to take you out.
Amen.
Something. I like to remind the devil every now and then when he says, who do you think you are? I can put my feet right down and say, hey, I know who I am. You want some of this? Come on! She shouldn't be that way. Well, I don't want to be like you. Everything is in God's hands. Amen. One of the things you learn when you're working with the youth sometimes, and to all you young folks, I'm not fussing at you. The world has changed. They don't have too much patience with the elderly. And I've noticed it because I used to be a youth. And now I'm an elderly. But the reason for that is the youth are going through the healthiest times of their life. We're not. I mean, now I wake up early in the morning. Take an inventory. See what fell off during the night. Sometimes I don't care. I just write down what I need. Young folks, though. They're in the absolute height of their health. You really get a good idea of this. Has any of you ever had the flu? Oh, I got to tell you something. When I'm sick, I am the worst sick person the world's ever known. I am. I want all things to stop when I'm sick. And I found out that if you call your own number, it will ring. And so I'd be in my bedroom. Call that number. And I hear footsteps. Going across. Jill's voice. Hello. Hi, honey. I'm in here by myself. I just had a little cup of tea, maybe, and some toast. Or biscuits if you're. Sometimes. When you want somebody to have compassion on you, have the flu. Usually somebody who's had the flu has more compassion. And sometimes we look at it, we say, Lord, I don't understand why I have to go through this particular struggle. I don't know why I have to go through this valley. I don't know why, Lord God, that you've allowed these kind of things to happen to me. But let me tell you something, every time you pass through one of those valleys,
And all you had to hold on to was the roots that you stuck down deep in the soil, and you make it through. When you see somebody else struggling along the way, you won't pass them by. You begin to pray for them because you begin to empathize with the battle that they've gone through. And sometimes we are scarred, and sometimes there is trouble that comes our way. But every child of God that passes through the valley says to the next one, "The Lord is our shepherd, and I through.
Amen.
I gotta tell you, sometimes
getting those roots down deep is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. People begin, listen, when the winds of the world blow on us, we gotta get our roots down deep. Amen.
Amen.
Olivet also was a place of community. In Leviticus, the Lord told Moses that the people should live in booths or tabernacles made from the branches of the trees. And he said this, and the purpose was to be a sort of family reunion. And that's what this time is.
Yeah. Amen.
Whether you know it or not, I'm part of your family.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
I am your brother.
Amen.
Huh? So, if you're talking about my style of preaching and thinking it's bad, I'm in your family. Amen.
Amen.
If you decide it too long, I'm in your family. Amen. If I say something that's offensive, how many of you have a family? How many times have they said things that are offensive? I gotta tell you, every family reunion I ever went to always it went the same way. I remember it well. As soon as I stepped out of my car, one of my aunts would yell up from the top of the hill where we have our family. We are the original sin eaters. Our reunion is on top of the hill in the graveyard. Every time I got out of the car, one of my aunts would yell out, "Is that Legion? Dad, you look like you ate a buffalo before you come over." Don't you love it when you happen to love your family? Because something about them that really, really it does get you closer to God. My family has helped me in many occasions to get closer to God. I look at them and smile and say, "It's good to see you, hey, pet. I want to change the name to Aunt Bessie." Oh, some of you don't know who Bessie was. I won't help you. But God said, "I want the family together." He said, "Some things are so holy." He said, "What we have together is important to have." And so they had the Feast of the Tabernacles so that we could get together and have a whole week of enjoyment. And you guys have had a Feast of Tabernacles because you've had a whole week of enjoyment. Preachers have been coming to preach and singers have been coming to sing. And today you've had singer after singer and one little tiny preacher that has to preach right before dinner. All of these blessings so that when you go in there to eat, you'll say, "Oh, thank God. This is what we've been waiting for." Sometimes we need this kind of stuff. You're at church on Sunday morning, church Sunday night, Monday night, you have the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. Here a scout, there a scout, everywhere a scout, scout you. Your children are in baseball, football, soccer ball, tennis ball.
And they can't miss a practice. Mm. I won't stay here long because some of you, I already feel your love coming right. Whatever you do, don't say that. Let me tell you something about Junior. You're so hoping that Junior is going to get on National League or American League that you take him out all the time. He's got a 1 in 400,000 chance
of even getting a scholarship. And out of that 1 to 400,000, it is almost 1 million to 1
that he would, if he gets the scholarship, that he's going to try out for some major league. Seems to me you ought to invest in whether or not he's saved.
He said that God set before us life and death. The last part of that verse always gets to me. He said, I set before you life and death. And then he looks at us and he says, choose life.
Yeah.
Why would he have to end that verse with choose life?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you something. I love you, but we're some kind of stupid. Here we really are. That God had to say, I set before you life and death. Hello! Choose life!
Amen. Sorry.
Why would he have to say that? Wouldn't we choose this world over him? Mm-hmm. And yet day after day after day, our children and our loved ones choose the world over God. But God said, I am who I am.
Amen.
And that God is coming again. And I want to be ready when the altogether lovely is looking over at the Father. And the Father says, son, you see that cloud? And he said, yes, Father, I see it. He said, I have held that cloud in obedience to this moment. Step out, son. Hey, angel, why don't you shout? Angel, blow your trumpet. And son, go get my children. I want them home.
Amen.
You see, Olivet was a place of oil. Amen. The church is a place of oil. This is the one I've been waiting for. I'm preaching longer here. It's better than chicken. You see, the olives were grown on the Mount of Olives and pressed into oil. And sometimes the oil was used for cooking. Just over there, there's a table spread in splendor. But you're not going there until the preacher surrenders. Chances are slim, you're not going to win. 'Cause I'm here for the duration. Oh, that's pretty, ain't it? I'm telling you, a Spencer couldn't write that. You could have shouted on that one. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Oil is often used, though, in the scripture to be a symbol for the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to know I've been a Free Will Baptist all my life, but I don't get scared with the word Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You shouldn't either.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Ghost is good.
Amen.
Holy Ghost is handy as a shirt pocket. Just want you to know that before I get into the next part of this. The high priest was anointed with oil before he went into the temple. We pray for the sick and we anoint them because the oil is a symbol of what is going to touch them, not us. For there is no power in us, but there is power in Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is power in the oil of anointing that God sends. There is great power there. And so the Holy Ghost oil is touching us today. Amen. And the oil was also used for lamps. And the lamps in the temple, in the homes, were filled with olive oil and burned to create light. Light drives away the darkness. And I'm so thankful that it still does. Amen.
Amen.
But, and the Bible said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And if you're going to have light to shine before men, you need to have something to burn. Amen.
Right.
You need some Holy Ghost down in the inside so that your light is not dim.
Amen.
But then also the Bible says that it is the light of the world Do you ever wonder about that? Let me tell you about what happened long ago.
You know, everybody needed to worship at certain times. It was very important that they had this worship at certain times. Well, if you were far away, it was kind of hard for you to know what was going on in Jerusalem. But up on the mountain, they had a fire, and they would light the fire. And down the way, there was another mountain. And when they saw the fire, they would light the fire. And down the way, there was another mountain. And somebody would wait for the fire to go, and they would light theirs. Until before long, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, somebody would say, the fire is lit in Jerusalem. It is time to worship.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Well, I've got to tell you something. The fire is still lit today.
Amen.
It's time for us to remember that we can worship God.
Amen.
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 So that people would get happy. As them lights would come out because they were the light of the world.
And I got to tell you something. From miles away, they could feel. And by the way, this church has touched people miles away. Still does.
Amen.
Things that happen here, if I'm told about it, it's recorded in my pulpit. If it's recorded in my pulpit, it goes to Andy's pulpit. And from Andy's pulpit, we tell Brother Mike about it. And then he takes credit for everything and preaches it all over the United States. A place of worship. But it's also a place of weeping. The temple was a place of offering and sacrifice, but the Mount of Olives was a place to worship. Worship is something that we give God because He's great and powerful. Amen?
Yes, amen.
We don't worship God because we want something. We worship Him because He deserves it.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He deserves it. How many of you have been touched by God?
Amen.
How many of you have had a blessing
amen.
From the Lord? How many of you have had more than one blessing from the Lord?
Amen.
Lift up the other hand. Amen?
Amen.
This will get you ready to eat.
Amen.
Again, I say praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We don't worship God because of something we want. We worship God because God has touched us. And we're not alone, amen.
Amen.
We're not alone. We worship Him because we have access to Him. And that ought to be enough, amen. Psalm 22:3, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. The Lord is within our praise. If you haven't been praising God, well, maybe that's wrong. You inhabit our praise. The Lord lives within our praise. But you don't want to praise Him. What's wrong? What's wrong with my children? Why won't they praise me? I've given them everything. Still they have no joy. What's wrong with my children? God wants to know that. Because sometimes in our time, in this new age, this time of the millennials, when the baby boomers are old, people aren't afraid to praise Him anymore. And they're always talking about what used to be. But as for me and my house, it is not a used to be.
Amen. Amen.
When my daughter told me, Daddy, I have cancer, I did not go to a used to be God.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
I got down on my knees with my wife and said, God, I'm frightened and scared.
Amen.
Be happy now.
Hallelujah.
I'm close to the end. I remember though one time, I'll just share this with you in loving fashion. I had lost my voice. Some of you may remember. Churches all over were praying for me because I had lost my voice. It had gotten so bad that in my home I was writing notes to people. The doctor said, he said, "Well, if we do some praying, you probably won't sing again. And your preaching days are done." So people started praying for me. And all of a sudden, I went to the church one, and I was playing the piano for other people while they sang. And I was aggravated because they were singing. And I was much better than them. Oh, some of you are looking at me, but you know, I tell always the truth. Haven't you heard people sing that you know that's not their ministry? I like this one. "God gave me this song. I don't remember the words. God gave me this song. I don't remember the words." Who would have ever thought the God who says, "I know all things," would have lost his memory? I know you. You're loving me. I can feel it. I like this one too. "I'm going to sing a song today. Don't nobody listen to how I sing it. I say it every time that again. Everybody get up. Walk out." But really, what choice do you have? You mean you're going to sit here and listen to it? They said, "Don't listen." "Okay, go ahead." That'll make them feel good, don't you think? I mean, well, people say stupid things. Okay. You've got to be humble. And me, I say it out loud so y'all can hear it. Y'all look at me and say, "That man's so into himself." Sound a little like Jesus coming through a cornfield, but that's another sermon. So the church was praying for me, and I was over there, and the Lord spoke to me while I was at the piano. He said, "Why are you sitting here?" I said, "Lord, you know I don't have any voice." See, he can understand mumble. He does. You know, the thing is, he isn't always. Sometimes when we pray, we always feel like we should use the Elizabethan English, right? "Oh God, thou that stands between the seraphims and the cherubims, would that you come down and rend the heavens." Let me tell you, one's better.
Yeah.
Don't have all them other words. Get there quicker.
Amen. That's good.
He said, "Call the elders." The elders came up and they anointed me with oil. And that very night I began to sing. And the next sermon that I preached was an hour and 15 minutes. Hour and 15 minutes. What are they going to say? Really? They prayed that God would give my voice back. What are they going to say then? "Well, God, I didn't mean it." So if I go over, wait, let me check my insulin drip. Well, it's a man-made device. It says 12:10, but that's because, no, I liked all that, so that was good. No, I liked that too, that was good. No, you have to just put up with it because all of it's been good. So here's David, and he's up there weeping. David had always come there to worship. He was weeping because of the fact that his son was after him. He was weeping because those things that used to be was taken for granted has now been lost to him. He was weeping in the place that he worshiped now because without God, he knew he was going to lose it all.
What I'm trying to tell the church is, if we ever, ever, ever decide that we can go on without God, we'll lose everything that we have. Amen. If we don't pray anymore, and we don't sing the praises, or if we're interested only in getting out on time, and all these other things that are happening in the church today, if somebody says, you can't be the way you used to be, and all of those things, but we never, that finally leaves, we're going to find ourselves weeping in the place we used to worship because we needed that.
Amen.
So here he was being pursued by his son. Truth is, sometimes you need to weep before the Lord.
Amen.
Before he will answer your prayer. Sometimes we need to tell him how bad it is. And sometimes we don't even know how to do that. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation when you didn't know how to pray? How many of you been there?
Yeah.
Didn't know how to pray. I've been there. But the Bible says the Spirit makes with groanings that I can't utter. The Spirit begins to pray for me.
Yes.
Talking in my behalf. When I don't know how to put it into words. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I am empty. And I don't know what to tell God. I said, God, look at me. I am empty. And somehow the Spirit begins to talk to the Son. And the Son reaches over to the Father. And says, that child of yours down there is hurting. That child of yours down there needs a blessing. That child of yours down there. And God speaks to the Holy Ghost. And in a moment, this heart that was empty becomes full. This heart that was under burden, it begins to lighten. This heart is reminded of God. He's not dead. He's very much alive. And the church is a place where we cannot take it for granted. So I chose to preach weeping where I used to worship. Sometimes the Bible said the Spirit helpeth our infirmities for what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In Romans 8:27, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Don't ever be afraid to mix weeping with your worship. Maybe you don't have all the words to express to God, but this is a place where God meets your needs.
Amen.
And for David, God would hear him there upon the mountain, and God would meet his needs.
Yes,
returning home, weeping where I used to worship. Well, the weeping is this. My dad used to be a big part of this church.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's gone. My mama, one of the grandest women I have ever known in my life, was not afforded an education like me. She had to go to work at an early age taking care of the family. When she was just old enough to get on a stool, they started her cooking. Her life, when she told me about it, was awful. And she would say it was a great life. And I'm thinking, how do you say that, Mom? You know, every time somebody got sick, they sent my mama to take care of them somewhere. And she'd say, oh, I had a good life. My daddy loved me. I tell you what, I didn't even like my grandfather because of what he did to my mom. The mom kept saying, I had a wonderful life, wonderful life. And she knew everything. Now, I miss her more than ever. I plant a garden, and I'm thinking, what did she tell me? What did she say I should do? And I go to her little flower garden, and I look at it, a little piece of it remains, and I've got to tell you something. There's no shrine there, no worry. I believe in Jesus.
That's right.
But I weep for my mother that's gone. I weep for people that used to be a part of this body. And I look for them when I come, and some of them that would have been here are sick, and I looked for them when they came. That part of me
Yes. 1 minute. But pardon me, what's the gaze out and see them again? To laugh with them and let me tell you some of them were my fans. They said, I love to hear you preach, brother. And that's gone. And so I weep when I worship. But I remember their laughter and their smiles and their shouts and the tears that ran down their face. I remember, Laura. Family that is gone cannot be replaced. And I weep. But then I see you, Laura, playing the piano. And my heart is lifted up. I see others, because their roots went so deep that they helped you get planted.
Yeah.
And now you're here. And so I worship, even in the weeping, I worship. Because God is not dead.
Amen. Amen.
And the church is still alive.
Amen. Amen.
How marvelous is the name of our God.
Amen.
How glorious is our Savior.
Amen.
So we weep in the place of worship. But the place of worship, even in this age where it seems the government is against us, and the law has taken Christianity on to wipe it out. Here in this place, there is a witness. God bless you. You are the best looking bunch of people in the world. Because God is looking down and saying, they did not bow. They bent, but they did not bow. They were hit by the wind, but they stood again and said, our God lives and reigns. So we weep in this place too. But then even our weeping, the devil comes and says, look at this one over here. They haven't been able to open up their eyes or put their heads up. They are under such bondage. And he says to God, you see what I've done? And God looks down to the devil and said, what have you done? And he said, I have bound them. And God said, where are they? And even your tears begin to worship your God. Because the devil couldn't keep you from coming, even when you were hurting so bad. He didn't know if he could preach another day, but you came anyway. And God said, that is divine! And hell begins to tremble.
Amen.
So we weep with up for we worship.
Good.
Returning home. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to come and be a part of the homecoming. I do appreciate it very much. Because it's part of my heritage too. A heritage that are ripples in a pond that are touching people today. What has happened here is still rippling across the world. I think they tell me, somebody was telling me that my sermons are being heard in 57 nations. I don't even know if there was 57 nations. I have no idea about that stuff. I don't go on that. My media guy does that. He says, man, they're listening all over the place. I said, how many? He said, hey, two in Saudi Arabia. Small town. Two. And those two, they changed the world.
True.
Ripples. Well, I must finish now. Father, take the message. Lord God, and speak to the heart that was discouraged and find a way to encourage them. Lord, for the heart that does not know you, I pray, God, that you would speak especially to them, that before the day is over, they'll come to know you.
Lord God, in the next part of our service, Lord, when the altar calls you, would you not speak for me, Father, in the words that I cannot speak, and minister where I cannot minister? And Lord God, if I am slow of speech and did not say the things that you would have me to say, would you speak now for me into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, anybody that's lost, that they might be saved? Lord God, let us have truly a homecoming today. Homecoming for the lost, homecoming for the discouraged, homecoming for every child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.